Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Oh, I've got a good one. Okay.
So you don't need it?
Well, it's a song that penetrates my life continuously because my kids have sang it ever since.
It's not Moana again, is it?
No, it's not. It's and I saw a great Jungian analogy sent through about it yesterday. It's the wheels on the bus, and the wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round.
Is that really what
we're seeing? Yeah, and it's very fitting with, well, like with what we're going to talk about today, because the explanation of the meaning of the words of the song was that it's about the cycle of life.
How was that Prince Aya? Is that who you saw doing it?
No.
Oh, I thought so. Someone. Okay, go on.
No,
he did row,
did he? Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, go on. What's the explanation?
Row Your Boat and A, B, C, D and all of these other songs all have the same rift.
Yeah.
But The Wheels on the Bus is basically about the cycle of life, how it goes round and round. The wipers on the bus go, wash, 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 doors on the bus go. And the song, in terms of Jung, was about the fact that people get caught in cycles, emotional cycles.
Yeah.
And it just keeps going around and around and around, and it's like the needle on the record, you know. As you get older, the record seems to go faster until eventually you fall down the hole and you're out of here and you die. So one of the things we're always getting asked about, I'm always speaking to people about, is universal laws and principles that govern the cycles of life and what life is actually all about. And so I think what I wanted to do today was I wanted to talk a little bit about the laws. I don't want to get too technical because I don't want to cook people's brains too much.
There's a lot of information that we could talk about in universal laws. Yeah. But it's a really good topic, so we can start it.
Yeah, I'll talk about laws in relation to people's lives and how they can use these laws to understand, you know, like how their relationships work, how business works, and et cetera, and et cetera. But I have to say that my first introduction to universal laws and principles was really when I was in secondary school, and we were, you know, we were talking in terms of physics, and you know, science was just, I just was, you know, science was my sleeping time at school. When we went to science, I went to sleep when I went to science. It was like math. I was good, loved math, and I loved I liked a bit of history. I liked geography, but when it came to science, it was just over my head. But the second introduction to laws that I had was at a seminar that I did called Money and You many, many years ago. And Money and You was created by Robert Kiyosaki and Buckminster Fuller. Robert Kiyosaki was Buckminster Fuller's cameraman and used to follow Buckminster Fuller around everywhere. Kiyosaki, you know, was an ex-Vietnam vet, killer, absolute killer. And he literally worked on a gunship on a... That's what he did in
really?
Vietnam. Yeah, he was a gunner on gunships. And so he was, you know, when he was going through his process of evolving, you know, he was the cameraman for Buckminster Fuller. And then Bucky Fuller was really my main introduction to the importance of universal laws and principles. And universal laws, you know, the first thing I want to say is that whenever people hear the word universe, it's like mentioning the word spirit. You know, people just think, oh my God, kooky, the universe, you know, all that sort of stuff. And that's how the masses see it. But the masters understand how that we are matter, we are governed by laws. Those laws that govern us so far in what we've seen, we haven't been able to defy any of those laws. So laws, universal laws and principles are there for the purpose of the governance of matter and how matter behaves. And guess what? You're just a big lump. You're just a lump of matter. And so...
They're designed to help keep us on track, right?
Yeah. So, they are, if you can understand that we originally are light, so if we break the human form down into a particle, down into an, you know, into an element, and down into a particle, into an atom, and then if I, you know, the minimum structure in the universe is a hydrogen atom. If I get two hydrogen atoms and I put them together, I create helium, but if I slam them together, I create light. And for every one particle of hydrogen, there's between 1 and 1 billion particles of light. So if we look at a particle of hydrogen and we look at it and we're able to see its parts, its components, it has an electron circling around a nucleus, which is also an electron. One is known as a positron, one is known as a neutron, but they're both electrons. Now, between those two particles, there's an energy pushing them apart called a strong and weak nuclear force. And if we didn't have a thing called gravity putting pressure on the strong and weak nuclear force, we would explode into a trillion, trillion light pieces. And don't hold me stead to the science of all of that, please. Because when you know, whenever you're talking about particle physics, you have to kind of have a little personal giggle to yourself because every day it fucking changes. So you're never actually completely on it completely. So I'm just saying it to keep it simple for people. So gravity is a universal law and principle that governs matter. Now, the thing about universal laws and principles is the way you got to look at it is like this. You could take, if you know, we have worked out how to take a piece of tin, how to get that tin and how to mold it into a certain shape, and then we can put some fuel in that tin and we can light that fuel and we can send that into space and we can get it to circumnavigate the moon and come back down and land on the Earth within thousands of a millimeter. We can calculate everything that is required to be able to work out the trajectory, the distance, everything can be worked out within thousands of a millimeter. And we can launch that rocket and we can bring it back in and land it within tens of a millimeter before we've even picked up the piece of tin, before we've even started to shape it. So
because science dictates it, this is how it works.
The importance of science is a great way to understand the importance of science is this. And the great Ricky Gervais, who I love very, very much as a comedian, gave a great example of the difference between religion and which are human laws and universal laws. And he said, you know what, if we eradicated religion right now and we eradicated life right now and we brought religion back and we brought science back, science would repeat itself, but religion would create something different. And so the importance of understanding the science of how life works is imperative to any human species success. So our research and our study into the sciences and into universal laws and principles allows us to make our lives an easier road, right? Yeah. So the weight of your existence or the quality of life that you live is dependent on your capacity to understand the laws that govern you. So therefore, the degree to which man suffers is proportionate and relative to its the infraction or the sin, for the want of a better term, the sin that it has against laws. And what I mean by that is that...
Yeah, give an example.
If you have a flame in front of you and you hold your hand over the flame, you're going to get burned. The longer you hold it over there, the more burnt you're going to get. So you know not to do that.
Yeah.
Well, that's a law of nature.
Yeah.
So the degree to which you suffer is directly proportional to the infraction that you have against laws.
So the degree to which you go against the laws of nature is the degree to which you're going to suffer, is what you're saying, right?
But what if you don't understand the laws?
Yeah. So if you don't understand the laws, then you'll find yourself suffering and you have no idea why.
That's right.
Yeah.
So if people don't understand laws, they suffer. But if they understand laws, in actual fact, the more they would be able to live their lives in a state of equanimity.
Yeah.
And equanimity is being able to live
equanimity
in that...
Equanimity is our new favourite word.
Yeah, I love
it's
it.
So cool.
It's great. Equanimity is being able to live in that space of understanding that pleasure and pain are there. They both happen. And your objective is to stay in a state of emotional poise instead of poisoned. So people are poisoned by emotion when an emotion is just energy in motion and laws govern energy and govern matter. So people that are emotional don't understand what they're being governed by. So let's boil it down to a more practical example so people can get a deeper connection with what we're saying. So the founding law of all universal laws, I'm not going to go into this law too much, but the founding law of all universal laws is the law of the one and the many, and it goes from the one source of all to the many and back towards the one again. So in this particular law is the founding law of all laws. So every single universal law and principle stems from that one law. So I'll give an example of a great law called the law of... let's talk about the law of conservation of energy. So the law of conservation of energy states that you cannot take from the universe without it simultaneously being replaced, which takes us into the law of understanding energy itself, that energy is eternally conserved. So what that means is there's no loss and no gain. It's just everything is just energy.
Yep.
Does that make sense? There's no we, because we're governed by senses, live in the land of loss and gain.
Yep.
Because our senses are bipolar. Every time we have an experience through our senses, we polarize the experience and we give it some sort of label.
Yep.
So the law of conservation of energy states that you cannot lose over here without simultaneously turning up over here. But if you're a sensory human being and you only experience things lopsidedly, when you have a loss, where do your senses go?
To the loss, you don't see anything else.
That's right. Yeah. But the masses get caught up in the, oh my God, my client didn't turn up today. What the fuck am I going to do? I'm so emotional. I got to pay my mortgage. I got to pay my bill. What's going to happen? So you become emotional. And when you become emotional, you can't see the other side.
Yeah.
You understand? Because emotions distort the fabric of space-time. So emotions distort what's going on. Does that make sense? We get emotional. We think, my life is going to fall apart because my fucking client didn't turn up. Oh, my God. My phone isn't ringing anymore. So understanding conservation of energy says that if I lose a client over here, it's because another one has to be turning up over here.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So I'll give you a great example. Matt, who's our property guy, comes into me yesterday and he signs up a deal with a person, and the deal is for X amount of dollars, and he's got a day to get the deal over the line, gets the deal over the line, and it turns out that when they look at the finance for this person, fucking finance doesn't stack up. So he has this deal, which is a doozy of a deal. It's got 30% in it. It's going, whoever takes it is going to earn 150 grand. So he's looking at the deal and he's looking at me going, do you want it? And I'm like, dude, I've got too much stuff on at the moment, I'm not going to take it. And he's like, he's starting to, so I stopped him. I said, Matt, sit down, listen to me. I said, it's conservation of energy, buddy. You can't lose your buyer over here without another one turning up. Mm. The problem is you're emotional about the one that you've lost.
So your focus is over here, so he can't see the other side of it.
Yes, totally. Unless you're consciously aware.
Yep.
The only thing that your emotions and your focus will do is go over there. It can't go over there unless you know to look for it. So I said, I promise you it'll turn up. The person will turn up, Matt. It's going to be okay. The person will turn up. I said, you have to understand, Matt, you can't lose this person over here without the other one turning up over here. Unless you have defied the laws of the universe and you're the only person in the whole of the history of time that is able to, that has done that, this is how it has to roll out. So the other person is just trying to find you. It's not finding you because you're emotional over here. Stop getting emotional. Get back into a state of equanimity. Understand.
You can't have one without the other.
This person was just not meant to have that deal.
Yeah.
That's okay. But he was living in the land of, oh my God, a real estate agent is the top real estate agent in the area. You know, he's going to not talk to me again. He's never going to give me any more deals. And I said, that's nonsense. That is just nonsense. That doesn't make any sense.
So where did it turn up?
Well, the fucking thing turned up like 20 minutes later. His architect goes, hey, man, because he needed, this person was under finance. The deal was about to fall over. He needed a cash offer, not just another finance
really?
Deal. He needed a cash offer. So the architect rings him and goes, dude, have you any more of those properties? He said, because I'm cashed up at X amount of dollars, the exact amount, the exact
That's
amount.
So cool.
I'm cashed up at X amount of dollars. And he goes, yep, I got one right now, but you got to sign on it tonight. He goes, no problem. Takes it down, signs it up, and away he goes.
It's so cool.
And then he's on the phone to me going, now, what the fuck is that law called again? Because, I just learned probably one of the biggest lessons I've learned in the past 2 months, you know, and it was really, really important.
It's good, because that's what, I mean, that famous St. Augustine quote is, miracles don't happen in opposition to nature. They happen in opposition to what we know of nature. So when we know nature, we don't call things like that a miracle, because that's exactly how nature works. That's what a universal law is. It's nature's laws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's how the universe works.
Yeah.
But when we get emotional and something like that happens, it's like this miracle, because we don't understand that.
That's right.
That nature is right there giving us all those answers.
Yeah, so my response to him was, stop getting emotional, because your emotions are stopping it from coming to you.
And so the best way to not get emotional, this happened for me as well with the law of conservation. Mm-hmm. I've just moved into a new apartment, and I've been looking for a while, and my offers of my apartments got rejected. And I was very clear on what I wanted, and it turns out that the apartment I'm in now was cheaper than what I was offering on, and has better views, and is a better apartment overall. But the thing is, if I'd got caught up in the law of conservation, I would have, if I hadn't understood the law of conservation, then I would have offered more and more and more and more for these other apartments that are of lesser quality mm-hmm. than the one I'm in now. Mm-hmm. So it's all about understanding how nature works.
It's a funny thing. I had a text message come through, or a message come through from a woman the other day who was listening to me talk with Andrew Baxter about this particular concept. And she said, yes, that's really well and good, but that doesn't apply to people in third world countries.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that.
I know. And it's just, and I mean, this is the problem. This is one of the issues with the masses, is that they think it only applies to the select.
To some people. Universal laws apply to everyone. If I am, you know, the holiest person in the world, I put my hand over the flame, I'm still going to get burnt.
That's right.
If a criminal, as the same as if a criminal puts
That's
his
right.
hand over the
yeah,
flame.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, the universal laws aren't selective. Right. They're That's for right. everybody,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't discriminate.
Yeah.
So universal laws don't discriminate. They apply to all. So I think just in terms of that law alone, if people, you know, just set out every year to just learn like two or three laws, you know, to just learn two or three laws and you know, when
implement them.
And when I'm dealing with people and the staff and the guys, you know, as we all know, my objective all the time is to say, this is how it works, guys. If we're getting emotional over here, this is no. We can't be getting reprimanded over here without getting praised.
Yeah.
We can't be. So find the praise. The problem is, and don't just go looking at the praise because you're going to attract the reprimand.
Totally.
That's conservation of energy. If you're going, oh, who's praising me? Well, you're going to get fucking slammed. Mm. You know, so maintaining an equanimity when you're being praised and reprimanded is really important. Understanding that that's okay. This is just a normal part of what happens.
Just like there's going to be a customer that goes and a customer that comes.
That's right. Just like if your boss is going to have a go at you over here, there's someone else over here is loving you simultaneously to the same degree at exactly that moment.
That's just one law though, Mitch. Like we can speak for weeks on all these. Or shall we give people maybe one more?
Let's talk about that for a second in terms of our emotional states, because I think that's, you know, that's intrinsically entwined into you know, working with people, and you know, is getting people to understand, listen, no matter what was going on, both things were happening. When you're being ridiculed, slammed, beaten up over here, put down, whatever that is, simultaneously to the same degree,
Which
the opposite
the
has to be occurring.
Yeah.
It has to. And when you see that the opposite, now for some people, their immediate reaction is, no, it wasn't. If you've had that immediate knee-jerk reaction right now as you're listening to this particular podcast, that you have to understand that's not true. If you stop and sit down and close your eyes and locate a time where you are being slammed, ridiculed, beaten up, put down, you know, stop and find that in terms of time, space, and location, an actual moment when that occurred, and then ask yourself, okay, where at exactly the same time, near or far, locally, non-locally, in space and time, was the opposite happening? You will see that both things are always happening simultaneously. And I mean, there's a great... I remember doing some work with John, and he spoke about spooky action in motion. And when this was really first vilified by Einstein, and you know, he was the one that said it was spooky. You know, when he suddenly realized, Jesus Christ, both things are always happening simultaneously to the same degree, and the masses are caught in the delusion that it's always only one way. Mm. Chasing the pleasure, creating the pain. Chasing the happiness, creating the sadness. Running after the wealth and becoming poorer. Not realizing that you have to be able to maintain, the master maintains a balance of both. Mm. They know, okay, I may be rich in lifestyle, but I'm poor in family.
Yeah.
I may be rich in pocket, but I'm poor in lifestyle. Both things, they understand that they have an equal balance of both, and they're able to manage and navigate both things. So what I know that when I'm rich in lifestyle and I'm poor in family, that's where I have to put my energy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And if I don't put my energy there, the energy will come and find me. So I'm best to locate where my support and challenge is, my pleasure and pain, my happy
absolutely.
And sad, my good and bad.
Yeah. So should we talk about maybe one more law?
Sure.
What law do you want to talk about? Oh, there's so many.
We could talk about a really, really cool law is the law of least action.
Yeah, actually, that's probably not a bad one to talk about.
Yeah, the law of least action. Because, you know, we meet a lot of people in terms of our field and what we do. We meet a lot of people that will say to me things like, I'm really fucking lost. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what my calling is. I don't know what I'm here to do. And the law...
I feel like they feel like they're not doing enough, or they're not putting enough energy into certain things or whatever. So they feel like they're not doing enough in
that's
some
right.
way. Yeah.
So the law of least action basically states that any action is alone sufficient. And what that means is, so it's a really, really cool law to understand. Any action is alone sufficient. That means that you could be sitting on the toilet all of the time in your life, and that action alone would be alone sufficient for the purpose of sustaining life anyway. So that means that no matter what you're doing, it's alone sufficient, and it is all part of the divine calling of why it is you're actually here. Now, when I use the word divine, I want to give people an understanding of what that means. It's not a religious term. It means to emanate light. So we're broadcasting systems. We emanate light, and any light that you emanate is alone sufficient for life.
So does that mean that people can sit on their asses and do nothing? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, that's going to attract pleasure and pain.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's going to attract good and bad and happy and sad and right and wrong. So it doesn't matter if you want to do that. The universe will give just as much energy there as it will to the person that has the most noblest of visions for their lives.
I think the law of least action comes into play a lot when we talk to parents, because a lot of parents go, I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if I'm doing enough for my kids. I don't know if I've, you know, provided them with everything that they need, etc. But the truth about it is that whatever they do with their kids is enough, because what happens is that if the kid doesn't get something from them, the kid is then going to go and find somewhere else in order to get that thing. So you know, we cannot provide everything that another human being needs, whoever it is. There is no possible way that one human being can provide another human being everything that they need.
That's right.
The job is for the human being themselves to go and find what they need.
Yeah.
So as a parent, if you are not able to perceive to give, like you were saying in another podcast that we did about Ange not feeling like she could play with the kids, in her not being able to not feeling like she can play with them, somebody else comes in to play with
them,
you know. You then step up as a father that is able to play with his kids, right? So in her not being able to do that, and the law of least action states that everything you do is alone sufficient, because the kids will go and search that out somewhere else. So it's a cool law, because it makes people realize that you cannot be everything for everyone.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think, you know, if we understood that, well, one of the things that's also important to understand is that all universal laws and principles are anthropocentric.
Yeah.
What that means is that the only place a universal law and principle is actually seen to govern is in the center of the human mind.
In the mind, yeah.
So what that means is, now if you take that a little bit deeper and do a little bit further down the rabbit hole, what that means is that the human mind is actually the center of the universe. So if you gave your kids everything they required, they would never move. They would never have a reason to even get out of bed. The simple fact that you don't give them everything they require gives them everything they require, because it actually makes them go and get it. And I think that in terms of parenting, that was one of the things that really set me free in terms of parenting. Is that I saw that, and the person you get it from, if you're not getting closeness from your mum and you're getting it from your dad, it's because at that time, that's exactly who you were meant to be getting it from.
Yeah, where you needed it most from, or where you were meant to be getting it
from. And where and then everything you get at that moment from that person or that parent is specifically designed in order for the purpose of evolving the immortal nature of your soul. So everything you require, you're always getting. And that's conservation of energy again. Nothing's missing. Everything is always eternally conserved. The dilemma is that we're sensory human beings, and we only experience things lopsidedly. So we have an innate knowing that pleasure and pain are inseparable, but still in our waking state, we want to hunger for pleasure.
Tell me, before we finish up, how would the law of least action relate to, say, another area of life, say, business, for example?
Well, it says stop beating yourself up, because everything you're doing is exactly what you're meant to be doing. Stop slamming yourself, because everything you're doing is exactly what you're meant to be doing. Let go. If you understand the law of least action and the law of conservation of energy, because they're all intertwined, they're intrinsically linked, and there's a really fine net or mosaic amongst them all. If you understand the law of least action in turn, just remind me what I was saying there.
The law of least action in terms of business.
In terms of business, then you start to stop being a dictator And, you know, it's a bit like, you know, you hire a creative person, but you stand over their shoulder going, shouldn't we go for that color? And shouldn't we do this? And
thinking that you've still got to do everything. That's why that person.
Yeah. And so therefore, when you understand the law of least action, you start to put your efforts into the things that are going to give you the greatest result that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that I don't have to do anything over here because it'll.
Yeah.
I trust the law. So people say to me all the time, you know, when you're under pressure, how do you handle stuff? Well, I trust the universe. I trust I'm meant to be going through this. I trust that I'm meant to be feeling this. I trust that this is a natural part of what's going on. There's nothing for me to change.
And whatever naturally occurs as a result of that, in terms of whatever action you feel it's most appropriate to take, you take that action. But you're not trying to do everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because obviously there's a reason that you're going
Everything you go through is specifically designed to evolve the immortal nature of who you are. Nothing Absolutely. That happens to any human being is there for the purpose of anything else.
Yeah.
And it is crazy to think that it is.
Yeah.
But our objective is to understand the laws and find what it's trying to tell you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Understand, look for the other side, the part that you perceive, your adamant is not there. Look, find it. Push your mind into looking for, when you're being slammed, where are you being loved? When you're being ridiculed, where are you being supported? Stop and take yourself back into that state of equanimity and understand the only reason the person turns up to slam you is to actually make you look in the other way. Because you're ignoring where you're being loved, ignoring where you're being risen up or cared for.
Yeah,
you know, and you have to understand it's very important. It's very ignorant for people to go, yeah, but that doesn't apply everywhere. It applies everywhere.
Of course, it does. It applies everywhere. It's not selective.
No one escapes it. No one gets away from that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. That was just two laws. So maybe on another podcast we might go through and go into depth with some of the other ones.
Yeah,
because I love talking universal laws. They're
what
really
other
cool.
stuff did laws did we want to talk about?
Oh, there's heaps of them.
Cause and effect and
cause and effect, supply and demand, the law of limitations.
Yeah.
We won't go into them today because we've spent enough time chatting. But maybe because then we can go into depth into them another time. What do you reckon?
Cool.
Good job.
Good job.
Oh, two.
Oakley dokey.
There's so much information on.
You just don't want to cook people's brains either, you know?
Well, there's just so much, like, and there, even just that, like, there's. Yeah.